Hi guys, welcome to another episode of our Facts First Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Esguera. Now for today, mahalaga na naman po ang pag-uusapan natin paksa. Hihimayin natin, susuriin natin ang kanya-kanyang campaign messaging ng mga tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo sa 2022 national elections dito sa Pilipinas. Pero bago po yan, bago ko po ipakilala ang ating panauhin sa araw na ito, please don't forget to like and subscribe my YouTube channel and listen to my podcast. Okay, so at this point, I'd like to welcome to this podcast, Mr. Alan Herman, a veteran campaign strategist. He is the president of Agents International. Marami na po siyang karanasan pagdating sa pagkampanya, national and local. Welcome to our podcast, Alan. Nice to have you.
Good morning, Christian. At sa lahat ng tagapagkinig ng podcast na dapat nilike at pinalo niyo na. Kung hindi nyo pa nila like at finalo, gawin nyo na agad. Maraming mga magagandang insights. Maraming mga issue dito na hinihimay at magagandang mga perspective ang lumalabas dito.
Nako, Alan, maraming salamat sa promotion. Ha? Pasensya na, hindi tayo sanay sa ganung format. Eh. Pero syempre, kailangan sabihin yung like and subscribe. Anyway, sige, pag-usapan natin yung campaign messaging ng mga tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo. No? Merong Bongbong Marcos, merong Lenny Robredo, Ping Lacson, Manny Pacquiao, etc. Isko Moreno. So isa-isahin natin. Let's start with a very general question. Kasi importante maintindihan ng mga tao kung anong role ng campaign messaging. So bilang veterano sa larangan na to, gaano ba ka-importante yung campaign messaging, yung campaign communication sa isang tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo?
Okay, again, babalik ako dun sa sinasabi nating 4 M's, no? Yung 4 key components para magpatakbo ng isang kampanya, which is man, message, machinery, at money. Yung apat na yon, all equal parts and all equal components sa pagpapatakbo ng isang kampanya. Kailangan yung kandidato mo magaling, madunong, marunong bumaba, manlulupa, as they call it, no? Yung local parlance, magaling sa groundwork. The messaging, of course, is yung narrative niya, what he does best, he or she does best, and how he or she will deliver that which he or she does best. And then there's the machinery, makinarya, mga volunteers and workers on the ground, at syempre yung resource, yung pinagkukunan, pera, no? Pero wag na nating i-clutter yung usapan. How important, to go straight to the question, how important is yung sinasabi nating messaging? Ang boto ng isang kandidato nanggagaling lang yan sa dalawang paraan, yung tinatawag nating negotiated sales or negotiated votes. Ibig sabihin yan, makinari at saka pera. Mm-hmm. Nakausap mo yung mayor, nakausap mo yung governor, nakausap mo yung mga barangay captain, dadalhin ka nila sa ground, yung pangalan mo lalabas sa sample ballot. Mm-hmm. At meron tayong tinatawag na retail or free market votes. Diyan, lahat yan manggagaling sa messaging. So, isipin natin yan in terms of isang produkto. Halimbawa, pagkain or a good. So, meron tayong tinatawag na institutional sales, yung makikipag-partner ka, B2B, business to business. Napaka-importante yan. Meron kang kontrata sa isang malaking kumpanya. Pero meron din tayong tinatawag na retail sales. Yung nakikita mo siya sa supermarket at dahil nakita mo yung advertising, nabasa mo siya sa dyaryo, bibili ng tao. So, okay. Messaging is the one that drives that.
Ano usually mas mabigat o mas patimbang dun sa dalawa? Yung negotiated o yung retail?
That's a great question, Christian. Sa local, for local elections, usually mas matimbang yung negotiated. Makinarya talaga yan. Barangay captain, nakausap mo si precinct leader, meron kang mga purok hanggang purok level, barangay level, meron kang head of family leader. So talagang ginapang mo, no? You really quote-unquote negotiated the votes. Pero pag national, the bulk of that will really come from retail dahil hindi mo naman pwede ikutin yung buong Pilipinas all the time and be present, lalo na sa party list. Ang party list, dahil napakarami nila, dahil napakaraming kandidato, ang talagang nagpapanalo sa party list ay yung negotiated votes. Mm-hmm. The retail votes play very little. Pwera na lang kung, I mean, the outliers of course being yung party list ni Natulfo, party list ni Joel Villanueva, for example, who is a sitting senator, perhaps in the case of the Revillas. Pero for the most part, ang party list talagang negotiated votes yan dahil napakarami nila.
So pag tumatakbo ka sa pagkapangulo, mas matimbang ba yung ano, retail votes?
Definitely retail yan. Retail yan. Because the messaging has to be on point. Most people, hindi mo naman makikita ng face-to-face. Hindi mo naman sila mahihikayat. Makakagawa ka ng talagang deep-seated machinery and leadership structure sa bawat lugar ng Pilipinas. So, mostly negotiated pag national.
Okay.
Retail pag national.
Retail pag national. So, dito napaka-importante nung role ng mga campaign, ng mga communication strategists, no? Kasi sila yung bubuo ng strategiya para ibenta yung kandidato sa pagkapangulo sa mga butante. Tama ba?
Yun. Natumbok mo. Ang message talaga nagda-drive sa retail votes. Yun na nga, para siyang produkto talaga. Sa grocery, di ba, bakit mo bibili yung isang bagay? Kasi nga, nakita mo siya sa billboard or napanood mo yung commercial, natuwa ka, etc., etc. Bukod pa yun sa mga sales na ginagawa niya from business to business.
Okay.
If parang, the analogy, sana clear yung analogy.
Ito yung parang mapapabili ka na isang produkto pero hindi mo naman talaga alam pa kung ano yun. Pero parang nainganyo ka, no? Parang ito yun.
Nangyayari.
Power of persuasion.
Well, I'm happy you used that word, persuasion, kasi nga ako ang self-proclaimed persuasion specialist.
Okay.
Pero tamang-tama yan at angkop na angkop yan, lalo na sa Filipino social-cultural setting. Dahil ganyan ang Pinoy talaga.
Okay. So, ang isang problema dyan, siguro pwedeng bulok yung kandidato pero maganda yung pagkakabihis sa kanya at pwede mainganyo yung mga botante. Tama rin ba yan?
Palagay ko, lalong-lalo na sa kaysaysayan ng Pilipinas, mukhang madalas mangyayari yun.
Okay.
Malungkot pang sabihin, mukhang madalas nangyayari yun. Although, may sinasabi tayo, no, yung PR kasi, tatlo yung ibig sabihin ng PR, which is public relations, and then perception reality, at yung pangatlo, performance recognition. So, ideally, in an ideal world, kailangan match yung pareho. Kung ano yung perception ng tao, dapat tumutugma sa reality yon. Kung ano yung recognition ng tao, dapat tumutugma sa performance niya. And vice versa, no? Pero sa Pilipinas, siguro pumapanig siya more sa perception at sa recognition. Kahit wala namang masyadong performance at yung reality ay hindi naman tugma.
Okay. Doon pumapasok yung pagkakabudol, no?
yun ang word na ginagamit nila ngayon, nabudol. And alam mo, maybe unfairly, ang nasisisi pagka nabubudol yung mga botante ay yung mga campaign manager tulad ko or yung mga campaign strategist tulad ko. So, yung industriya ko pag election, medyo polarizing.
Okay. O sige, imayin natin isa-isa yung ano. So far, dun sa mga tumatakbo sa pagkapangulo, kaninong campaign messaging sa tingin mo yung effective so far? Yung mas tumatatak?
Well, alam mo, there's no other way to slice it kasi kung sabihin natin in terms of a communicator, alin yung sa tingin nating pasok dun sa ideal, insight, definition, experience, activation, and longevity, syempre, pwede natin siyang tignan base dun sa standards na yun, no, as a communicator. Pero baka yung mga tagapagkinig ng podcast sabihin, ano mong pinagsasabi nitong dalawa na to, survey lang naman ang makapagsasabi kung alin yung tumatak.
Yeah.
Dapat, ang kasabihan nga sa English, the proof of the pudding is in the tasting. Di ba? In this case, as communicators, at least dun sa mga nakakausap ko, ang pinaka-authentic, well-crafted, at very, very consistent and aligned, yung tinatawag nila TCA, Total Consistent Alignment, na messaging, ay kay Manila Mayor Isko Moreno, no? Hindi siya nag-vary dun sa messaging niya. Lahat ng sinasabi niya, pasok na pasok dun sa narrative niya. Poor boy done good. Meron siyang sariling, ito, medyo parang lecture na, no? Mm-hmm. Yung moments of truth na tinatawag, meron siyang signature look. Pag pinakinggan mo siya, alam mo yung kanyang reverse language na pinagbabalibaliktad niya yung salita niya. Marinig mo lang yun, alam mo na, Manila Mayor Isko yun. His voice is very, very distinctive as well. So in terms of PCA, actually maganda nga yung campaign niya ngayon, yung ano, Lopangu ng Pet Malu. Meron siyang ganyan, di ba? Lopangu ng Pet Malu. So pasok na pasok tayong tahe. That's one way to look at it. Pero yun ang nga, baka sabihin ng mga nakikinig sa podcast, ano ngayon ang silbi ng mga academic ano na yan, academic alignments na yan? Ang totoong basehan, yung survey, sino bang lamang? And it seems that if you want to use that barometer, yung proof of the pudding is in the tasting, mukhang yung messaging ni former Senator Bongbong Marcos Jr. ang tumatatak talaga.
Okay. Pag-usapan natin yan, bakit tumatatak yun despite the history nung pamilya? Bakit, based on the surveys, mukhang pinaka-effective yung campaign messaging so far ni Bongbong Marcos?
Okay. Marami talagang napapakamot ng ulo kung paano nagawa ng Marcos Jr. campaign, ano? Dahil kung tutuusin mo, if the issue is gano'ng karaming pabigat ang nakadikit sa isang pangalan, mabigat talaga yung dinadala ni Marcos Jr. Maraming naibabato sa pamilya niya, maraming naibabato sa kanyang ama, yung history na pinagdaanan ng Pilipinas. Kaya napapakamot yung ulo. Bakit siya, paano siya lumamang? Ang pinaka-plausible sa tingin ko, in terms of narrative capacity, no? Narrative, yung narrative building nila, nag-leverage sila sa dalawang aspeto ng communications. Number one is myth building. Patok na patok sa Pilipino yan. Alam mo, Filipinos by nature, we like our stories, we like our quote-unquote legends, and you can already see kung ano ang tingin ko sa ibang mga kwento na to, no, na lumalabas. Ano siya talaga? Alamat. In the truest sense of the word, alamat. Alamat ng Taliano Gold, alamat ng Bataan Nuclear Power Plant. Na gusto ng Pinoy yan, eh. We love our telenovelas. Gustong-gusto natin yung mga alt history, kabanata, ganyan. Si Jose Rizal, hindi pala namatay, naging pope pala. At naging abogado pala niya ay si Ferdinand Marcos Sr. Yung mga Vatican, kayamanan sa Vatican, etc. So it's a whole myth. They weave an entire myth, no? Which susceptible ang botanteng Pilipino dyan. That's one. Number two, meron tayong tinatawag, and it's very, very evident in elections, time immemorial sa Pilipinas, yung tinatawag natin na DEAN, Delight, Entertain, Amuse, and Make Noise. Ang kampanya ni Marcos Jr., pag titignan mo, wala siyang element na heart pull, wala siyang element na malungkot. Ang background music niya, hindi yung piano riff na senti. If you look at his materials, they're all happy.
Mm-hmm.
They all elicit delight. They're namimigay siya ng mga paper windmills sa mga bata, nakangiti lahat ng tao. And Filipinos like this, eh. Yung tinatawag nga natin DEAN, delight, entertain, amuse, and make noise.
Miski, so, hindi sa kanya yung ano, yung windmills project
na yon. Walang ginalaman siya doon sa proyekto yon, ano? Alam naman natin 'yan. Established fact po 'yon, ano? Pero again, what is perception, what is reality? Naging trademark niya, yung windmill. So ni-leverage niya, pinamimigay niya sa iba't ibang sektor, nakangiti silang lahat. It's that message of positivity, it's that message of inclusion, tayong lahat. Perhaps not as much as the other candidates who are talking about themselves. Nothing wrong with that, no? Nothing really wrong with that. By this point, you should be talking about yourself at this point. Kailangan pinapakilala mo yung sarili mo sa botante. Pero siguro, yung kay Marcos Jr., overall, syempre hindi naman nasusukat to through any scientific means, pero overall, mas masaya yung mood ng mga materials ni Marcos Jr. Hindi siya palaban, hindi siya instructive. We need a leader. Hindi siya yung browbeating na pinagsasabihan yung mga Pilipino. It's Tayo, halika na. Let's go. Nakangiti. Happy music na tumatatak sa mga botante. Mukhang ganun na nangyayari.
Isa pang ano, no? Salamat doon sa paghimay doon. No? Pero may isa pang ano, eh, parang isang tanong na parang kailangan ng sagot. Eh. Supposedly, lagi merong incumbent tsaka merong change candidate sa isang election, no? Sa isang kampanya. Ang presumption before, conventional wisdom, ang change candidate would naturally be Leni Robredo. Kasi the other candidates for president, may kanya-kanyang entanglements o links doon sa current administration. Most especially si Bongbong Marcos. Dahil dikit-dikit sila ng mga Dutertes, no? Kahit binanatan siya ni President Duterte recently. Ang tanong, bakit tila yung pagiging change candidate narrative nakuha o nanakaw pa, sabi ng iba, ni Bongbong Marcos mula kay Leni Robredo? How much of this had to do with the effectiveness of Bongbong Marcos's campaign and let's say certain problems with the campaign messaging naman of Vice President Leni Robredo?
Alam mo, it is true. It is true. I if that is the postulate, kung yan ang ano given na si Bongbong Marcos tila ang naging change candidate, I accept that as truth. Ako personally, I believe, yun nga ang nangyari. Tama ka sa sinabi mo na dapat ang change candidate yung anti-admin or yung generally opposed, even politically, dun sa administration. Very, very unusual lang yung sitwasyon natin ngayon. Walang finilled na kandidato yung admin slate. So that's a very, very unusual time in Philippine politics, no? Pero back to the point, paano nagawa ni BBM yon? Kasi naging centrist siya. He accept all. Unlike si VP Leni, still very combative against the administration, still seen as that, still seen as the anti-Duterte candidate, when in fact perhaps the term we should be using is not change. Maybe more accurately, dapat di natin ginagamit na change candidate yung term, no? Kasi hindi naman lahat gusto ng change. Believe it or not, marami, and the surveys will bear this out, a lot of people are actually still quite satisfied with the Duterte administration. So somehow, Marcos Jr., na-engineer niya yung messaging na yun, hindi siya change, he is evolution, he's the improvement of. May links pa rin ako kay, ano, tama yung sinabi mo, binanatan siya ni PRRD, pero kahit papano, he's still seen as that Duterte-leaning candidate, pero an improvement, an evolution, a 2.0 as it were, which they were actually trying to market City Mayor Inday Sara as originally. Kaya lang nag-slide siya, naging bise. So yun yung nakuha ni Marcos Jr. Not so much being the change candidate, but being Duterte 2.0.
Okay.
An improved version.
Okay. Pero yung ginagamit na slogan, di ba, babangon muli. So, pag sinayong babangon muli, ibig sabihin, nasasadla ka.
Dapa tayo. Ibig sabihin, dapa
diba?
Tayo. So, kasi hindi naman tayo babangon kung hindi tayo nakadapa, eh, di ba?
Okay, nakahilata. Okay, nakahilata ka. Natutulog
okay,
ka.
Nakahilata.
I-analyze natin yung messaging na yon. Kasi hindi mo pwede personal din yon, deeply personal, babangon muli. Because yung mga Marcos, nawala, 'di ba? Napatalsik, naitaboy noong 1986 dahil sa EDSA at dahil sa bilyong-bilyong pisong ninakaw nila. So, sa tingin mo, it's more personal and at the same time ginagamit siya as a clarion call for the support base of Bongbong Marcos.
Okay, at its most cosmetic. Syempre, analyze natin at its most shallow level, di ba? Babangon muli is obviously BBM, a play on his initials. Yung personal, sa totoo lang, hindi ko naisip yun as a commentary on the resurgence of the Marcoses. Ako kasi, when you say babangon muli as a messenger, it ties into their myth building, as I mentioned. Kasi yung what they're doing now is they're painting martial law and the Marcos years as the golden era where prices were ever low, infrastructure was ever beautiful, a renaissance in the Philippines. Walang krimen. Ang mga bata, nagkakantahan sa kalsada. Pag lumabas ka sa Pasig River, kulang na lang maging Hollywood musical at magkantahan kayo sa tabi ng Malacanang. It was the golden era. So they're trying to allude to that when they say babangon muli, it will be the golden era once again. And then that's where the other elements of that myth come back. I will bring back the riches. Di ba? Pag naging presidente, babangon tayo dahil lahat ng Pilipino mayroong 10,000 pesos. Ah, sorry, 100,000 pesos a month.
Daw. No.
Siyempre, lahat ng ekonomista kumalun sa Pasig River nung narinig yun. Lilinawin ko lang po, bilang isang economist din, I am a graduate I have a master's degree in industrial economics. So, lilinawin ko lang po sa mga tagapagkinig. Kung lahat po ng Pilipino tumanggap ng 100,000 kada buwan, hindi po tayo yayaman. Tataas po ang inflation. Ang mangyayari po dyan, ang isang latang gatas magiging 1,000,000 piso. So, hindi mo pa rin mabibili yung gatas dahil may 100,000 ka. I just wanted to get that out of my chest, boss. Kasi marami naniniwala dyan sa 100,000 pesos every month.
The same reason na bakit daw hindi na lang mag-imprinta ng sangkatutak na pera ang central bank para lahat ng mga at, Pilipina magpera sa bulsa.
At ihulog. Isa kayo sa aeroplano at i-airdrop ang salapi sa buong Pilipinas. Kaya naman pong gawin yan, pero economically po, walang epekto yan dahil tataas lang inflation, ang presyo ng bilihin, tataas din. So, kailangan mo ng isang pick-up para makapag-grocery ka.
Okay. So, yan. Bakit sa tingin mo yung myth-building very effective? Kumbaga, hindi ba, doesn't truth supposed to matter in a campaign? Na dapat, kahit nilalagyan mo ng kolorete yung katawan mo, yung imahe mo sa publiko, di ba dapat meron pa rin katotohanan? Pero bakit sa tingin mo napaka-effective yan?
You know, truth should not only matter, truth should be the be-all and end-all in a campaign, ultimately. Unfortunately, parang good nga, maraming pa rin nadadali sa balot. Yung pag binuksan mo yung tsokolate, kaliit-liit, malinggit lang pala, hindi masarap. Pero nadali ka dun sa golden packaging, ang ganda ng foil, mukha siyang premium, etc. Pag binuksan mo yung packaging, yung produkto pala hindi maganda. Normally, may word of mouth tayo eh. May word of mouth effect tayo eh. At experiential, kaya nga diba it's ideal. Inside definition, experience. The experience should overtake it. Dapat sasabihin ng tao, ay, kakalat yan dapat. Pag binuksan mo yan, hindi masarap yung produkto, maliit lang yan. But time also plays a factor. And the amnesia of the Filipinos, perhaps. No? Ang tagal ng oras ang nakalipas. Eh. 1986 was decades ago. A lot of people, especially mga botante ngayon, hindi na maalala and they don't care to find out the truth. So truth matters. Truth is the absolute. But it only works if you seek it. If the voters don't have the time, the predilection, gana, as it were, para alamin kung ano yung katotohanan, then sadly, the truth will take a backstage at mabubudol tayo talaga.
Okay. Sa stage na to ng kampanya for president, gaano pa dapat ka-specific ang campaign messaging? Dapat ba pinag-uusapan na yung plataforma na ginagawa ng ibang mga kandidato? Pero kumpara kay Bongbong Marcos, parang walang detalye, di ba? Medyo general. Pero parang lumalabas, mas effective pa yun.
And again, this is ano, no? This is consistent with this messaging. Kasi pag si Marcos Jr. na subject sa mga interviews, lalo na sa mga very, very credible journalists, very, very insightful journalists, syempre, hihimayin yung history, pag mapag-uusapan yung mga nakaraan, pag mapag-uusapan yung pamilya niya, which will put baggage, quote-unquote, on his campaign. Kaya, if you notice, hindi siya nagpapa-interview sa mga journalists, hindi siya. And it's working out well for him. It's working out very well for him. Dahil, ang ano nga dyan, di ba, yung narrative control. makikipagsapalaran siya, makikipagbakbakan siya sa isang arena na kaya nilang i-control yung narrative, which unfortunately right now is online and on social media.
So, pero kaya ba niyang i-sustain to? For instance, na throughout the campaign, hindi siya magpapa-interview, hindi niya sasagutin yung mga issue binabato sa kanya, at kung sagutin ba niya, man niya, very general, eh, dati nang binabato sa pamilya namin yan. Kaya ba, pwede bang mag-work yung campaign niya nang ini-ignore lang yung mga to at pinapabayaan, let's say, yung mga attack dogs niya, yung mga supporters niya to do the hitting for him?
Ikinalulungkot kong sabihin, if the question is kaya, tingin ko kaya. And I think that's exactly what they will do. Because sabi nga nila, well, tatagalugin ko, no? Tatagalugin ko yung English expression. Kung hindi naman sira, ba't mo aayusin? Huwag mo nang ayusin kung hindi sira. Eh, mukhang gumagana eh. Mukhang it's working for them.
How about in debates? Can he afford not to participate in debates?
I honestly believe I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Baka in the future, di ba? These words might be used against me and magmukha akong katawa-tawa. Pero sa totoo lang, I don't think he will participate in any debates. In fact, I'll frame that differently. Kung ako yung nag-handle ng kampanya niya, hindi ko na siya papasalihin ng debate.
Kasi what for? Ang taas mo na sa survey. Baka mahubaran ka pa sa debate. Ganun ba yan?
Mahuhubaran ka sa debate. Walang, and perfect yung pagkakasabi mo, no, Christian. What for? Kasi you have to weigh it in terms of net negative, net neutral, net positive. Wala siyang net positive gain sa debate. It's all net it's all a net negative risk. So, bakit ka sasali dyan?
Okay. Ngayon, puntahan naman natin yung kampanya ni Vice President Len Robredo. May mga nadidinig ako mula sa kampo niya na parang hindi ganun kalinaw. So far, hindi pa ganun kalinaw kung ano ba dapat yung messaging na magre-reflect truly dun sa kandidato nila. Bilang veterano sa larangan na to, ano bang tingin mo ron sa kampanya so far ni Vice President Len Robredo naman?
Well, ang talagang positive sa kumpanya ni VP Lenny ay talagang nakapag-ignite siya ng spirit of volunteerism. Talagang, yun nga, we talk about narrative strength, we talk about logistical / mobilization strength, di ba? Yun yung talagang strength, yun yung talagang naging key point ng ano ni VP Lenny. Mobilization and logistical strength. Nag-emailan yung mga tao, nagkaroon ng mga Viber groups, anong gagawin natin upang sumuporta sa kampanya, isang message lang, sabay-sabay, Luzon, Visayas, Mindanao, all corners of the Philippines were able to mobilize. The narrative strength though, what is the narrative? Kasi if you're talking about authenticity, si VP Lenny, talagang ano yan, ang abilidad ni VP Lenny is to make something big out of relatively small resources. Yan ang talagang naging DSI or dominant selling idea ni VP Lenny. Andit ng budget, nakagawa ng maraming proyekto, nagkaroon ng malaking bagyo because of that organizational logistical mobilization strength, she was able to send goods agad-agad and help. But the narrative kasi, siguro, I'm sure yung campaign team niya nag-aaral din ng mga messaging quote-unquote holes, no? And I mentioned earlier yun din, yung delight, entertain, amuse, and make noise. Siguro nakita nila, uy, butas tayo dyan. Lahat ng campaign materials natin, napakaseryoso. It's all VP Lenny saying, gagawan ko ng paraan, ng trabaho. Ako po, si Lenny Robredo, ang presyo ng bilihin, it's all that, right? Mm-hmm. There's no sense of, di ba? There's no sense of diversion. Mm-hmm. Kasi apart from, ang hirap sa Pilipinas eh, di ba? Apart from needing to present the solution, you also need to be a diversion when you're a candidate. Kailangan natutuwa rin ang tao, panoorin ka. So, ang hirap talaga maging kandidato. Siguro nakita nila na, uy, dyan tayo butas. Kulang ng saya, kulang ng levity, kulang ng aliw factor, if you wanted to date that term, no? Aliw factor, yung messaging natin. So they tried with that, alam mo naman yung nangyari nung nag-Dragon Ball Z sila.
Hadouken.
Yung Hadouken initiative nila, which was widely panned. So it's still a work in progress. I think the messaging needs to be balanced. Let Lenny Lead is a great campaignable. I think you can build on it. It's a true campaignable. And eventually, I'm hopeful that I'm sure naman, magagaling naman yung mga humahawak sa kampanya ni VP Lenny, that they will be able to strike that balance between lecturing and levity. Yung may lightness ng konti yung campaign.
Okay. Pero hindi ba mukhang late na yan at this stage in the campaign? Although technically, hindi pa nagsisimula yung campaign for national candidates, diba? Sa February pa yun next month. Pero hindi ba medyo late na at this stage, hindi pa yata nakaka-capture kung ano yung image or main narrative ng kandidato nila? Kumpara, let's say, kay Bongbong Marcos, patatandaan mo agad, diba? BBM, babangon muli. Kay Isko, sinabi mo kayo, napakaliwanag, diba? Pero kay Lenny, meron kang may Mama Lenny before, may kakampinks, may Lenny Lead. Bakit parang hindi pa in-Kuwait, in short?
In fact, this is a term that I mentioned earlier at the start of the podcast. No? Specifically talking about Manila Mayor Isko, yung tinatawag nating TCA, Total Consistent Alignment. Dapat one messaging lang. And then, from that, you need to branch out. So far, kung ako tatanungin mo and other communications consultants I've spoken to, ang pinaka-true campaignable dyan is Let Lenny Lead. Kasi from there, you can go to the whys, di ba? Let Lenny Lead. Bakit? Patsa. To unpack your question, late na ba tayo? Oo, medyo huli na. We could have done away with the clutter. Naging parang on the fly yung dating. Parang they were throwing things at the wall. Tinitingnan nila kung ano yung didikit. Perhaps not the most ideal way to run a campaign. Kasi dapat yan, nag-pre-survey ka na, nag-ano ka na, nag-FGD ka na. In fact, nag-EFGD ka na, electoral FGD. Kasi iba yun sa normal FGD. You should have done this nationwide, different socioeconomic classes. Pero alam naman natin na huli din naman kasi nag-decide si VP Lenny na tumakbo. And people were scrambling. But you know, it doesn't, just so that I don't sound like a doom and gloom guy, no, and I'm wagging my finger at the Lenny campaign. Absolutely not. I'm not, no, because meron din tayong tinitignan na trajectory. In fact, for a campaign strategist like me, mas gusto ko yung trajectory. It's a term we use, no, and we use software. Personally kami, apat na software ang ginagamit namin. We call it trajectory/velocity. Mm-hmm. So yung velocity ni VP Lenny, actually, if you ask a trend analyst or a math guy, they will actually prefer the velocity of VP Lenny right now, because historically, tanggalin na natin lahat ng human factors. Sorry, medyo nagiging technical ako.
Yeah, go ahead. Very interesting.
If you treat it like a stock, like a stock price. So titingnan mo lang yung candlestick chart. Never pa kasi nangyari sa kasaysayan ng Pilipinas na nanalo yung front runner sa survey.
Talaga, never. Kahit gaano
never,
kataas.
Never.
Pero okay, sige.
Never pa. Never pa talaga na nanalo yung front runner sa survey. Trajectory kasi ang tinitingnan diyan. So if you're asking, on one end, are they late? Are they late in terms of messaging? Perhaps. But in terms of trajectory, they're peaking at the right time. Nakita naman natin yung huling survey, halos na doble na yung kanyang statistical preference. It's a good sign if you think about it that way, if you were supportive of VP Lenny.
Okay. Pero in reality, To be honest about it, as a campaign strategist, sa tingin mo, kailangan ba ng overhaul or reboot ng campaign ni Vice President Lenny Robredo?
Hindi naman siguro reboot. I would call it a refocus. Let's cut the fat out. Let's focus on one campaignable. I would personally, ako, hindi naman sa nagbibigay ako ng advice or nagsasabi ako kung anong dapat gawin. But for the purposes of the discussion, I would stick with Let Lenny Lead. Kasi for me, that's the true campaignable. Tatlo lang yan, eh, di ba? In terms of facing. Who is the candidate? Why will you vote for the candidate? And then, final stretch is vote for the candidate. Di ba? Yun yun, eh, di ba? So if we're already in the why should we vote for the candidate stage, yung let Lenny lead, madali nang i-build up yun versus a Mama Lenny, versus a Kakampink, etc., etc. Yung let Lenny lead, andali nang i-branch out yun. Because the ang tanong doon is in Filipino, bakit? Or in English, why? So going back to Bongbong Marcos, di ba? Or Marcos Jr., babangon muli. And then, if the question is why, then they can give their reasons to believe. Kasi nung Marcos era, 2 pesos lang ang dolyar, meron tayong nuclear power, and whatever narrative they want to build. That's narrative control. The same should be applied to the Lenny campaign. Let Lenny lead. Bakit? Kasi okay. Nakita niyo ba yung ginawa ng Office of the Vice President? Wala silang budget, nakagawa sila ng ganito, ganito, ganito. Let Lenny lead. Bakit? Kasi ombudsman mismo nagbigay sa kanya ng highest rating. Konti na nga yung pondo niya, wala pa siyang kinulimbat. Let Lenny lead. Why? Because nakita niyo naman tuwing panahon ng crisis o disaster, bagyo, sino ba nauuna, etc., etc. Okay. You can build that up.
Pero yung ginagawa naman ng ito, not necessarily by the campaign team of Lenny Robredo, pero yung mga supporters na organic, let's say online, na aggressively binabanatan si Bongbong Marcos. Do you think this is working? For example, kunwari sabihin ng mga supporters ni Lenny Robredo hindi magnanakaw. Yung mga ganong diskarte, effective ba yun?
Ako at this point, it's not only effective, it's essential. Essential kasi you always have to break it down in terms of numbers and math. At this point, the undecided is not enough. Kailangan ka ng kumuha. Kailangan ka ng, you need to cut a slice of soft voters already.
From the others?
Yes, from the others. Soft voters ang kailangan mo. Masakit man sabihin, and I'm not saying that the Lenny Robredo team is doing this, but candidate X, candidate versus candidate YZAB. At this point, dapat slightly kumukuha na siya. He's already trying to convince the soft voters of yung mga kalaban niya na mag-switch sa kanya.
Nga, kaso dun sa latest Okta Research survey, ang taas ng solid votes ni Bongbong Marcos, nasa 49%, yung nagsabi na, I will definitely not change my vote. Tapos, interestingly, dun sa isang slide na lumabas, ang tanong, if your candidate will not continue his or her candidacy, who will you likely vote for president instead? Ang laki nung mga sumagot na hindi. Yung refuse answer, di nila alam o wala. 26% buong Pilipinas. So parang reflective din yata ito sa support base ni Bongbong Marcos. So paano mo siya, paano ka kukuha ng voto from the other candidates? Specifically, Bongbong Marcos.
Tenacious ang tawag dyan. Di ba? Tenacity, voter tenacity, importante. Actually, 49% seems high, but wow. Sorry, parang ayabang nang dating ng sasabihin ko. I don't mean to put myself or my profession in a pedestal or anything like that. Pero sa 49%, okay pa yan. Okay pa yan. May mako-convert ko pa dyan.
Ah, kaya pa.
I actually like that number. It's the first time I'm hearing it. 49% lang pala yung tenacious for Marcos Jr.
Ah, so hindi pa siya ganun kataas?
Basta hindi ka tumawid ng 50. Even in surveys, yan yung tinitingnan namin. Mas gusto ko pa, halimbawa, if it's Christian versus Alan, magkalaban tayo ng mayor of Tinseltown. Tinseltown, mayoralty race. Tayong dalawa magkalaban. Mas gusto ko pa na ang survey mo is nasa 32% ka, ako nasa 5. Versus 53% ka at ako nasa 31. Mas gusto ko na yung 5 lang ako. Kasi tumawid ka na ng 50.
Pero may ibang surveys na ano, 'di ba, recently. Ito yung kanina yung pinag-usapan natin, yung percentage ng votes ni supporters ni Bongbong Marcos na hindi na magbabago ang isip. That's 49%. Pero may previous surveys na tumawid siya sa 50% in terms of support base, di ba?
Yes, tenacity. Well, I mean, the numbers are the numbers. There's no denying them. I won't invalidate any survey or any survey firm. But the reality is, whatever the numbers are, you really, at this point, kailangan kumain ka na ng soft boots. However small those soft boots may be. Pero I'm tracking this back to your earlier question na dapat bang meron ng quote-unquote pitik sa mga kalaban mo. At this point, oo, kailangan. Lalo ngayon, na pandemya pa tayo ulit. Nagkaroon ulit ng outbreak. Hindi na naman pwedeng umikot. Hindi na naman pwedeng mag mask-to-mask campaigning. Sa SOCMED na naman magkakabakbakan yan.
Ito ba yung pwede ng, ito ba yung time na kailangan mo nang bumanat sa kalaban to get a chunk of their supporters to go to you?
Yes, but you need to banat, well calibrated banat ang kailangan diyan. Hindi ka baliwala yung sinabi mong Lenny Lugaw, Lenny ano, Lutang. Ayun, baliwala 'yon. Dapat ang banat mo ay artful. And okay. How do you make your banat artful? Perhaps tatlong podcast pa ang kailangan natin para
doon kayo papasok, yung expertise nyo. Artful banat. Teka,
artful
yung isang
banat.
Ito pala nakikita natin sa social media to, no? So yung behavior ng supporters sa mga kandidato basically is ascribed to the candidates themselves. For example, kung maayos yung behavior ng certain group of supporters, let's say on Twitter, parang that reflects well on the candidate. Pero sa kabaligtaran naman, pag medyo bastos yung mga kandidato, yung self-righteous, yung supporters sila, nababanatan din naman yung mga kandidato. Sa tingin mo, malaking factor ito ngayon sa kampanya? Kasi I remember recently, maraming bumanat sa mga supporters ni Lenny Robredo nung I think they called out si Leody de Guzman because of a Christmas photo. Parang sinasabi, hindi ka naman pala mukhang mahirap eh. So, hindi galing yung banat na yung kay Lenny Robredo. Tsaka ba't naman niya babanatan si Leody de Guzman? Pero, dahil ilang mga supporters niya yung nag-comment ng ganon, parang nabahiran din siya.
It reflects badly. And latak pa to from 16. In fact, one of the reasons, I think, strategically, bakit naging pink si VP Lenny is because she really, really wanted to veer away from that image of the sanctimonious, holier than thou, nagmamalinis, intellectual snob na Delawan. Mm-hmm. And yun yung naging ano eh, unfortunately, like the name Karen in the United States, di ba? Naging ano siya, naging very definition and the personification ng pagiging isang intellectual snob, yung term na Delawan. Mm-hmm. So pag tama ka, especially pronounced yan kay VP Lenny. Pag merong nag-exhibit ng ganun trait, the opponents will jump on it and say, kita mo na. And that's an artful banat. Going back to our earlier point, yan, magandang banat yan.
Pero pag kinumpir mo naman, let's say Bongbong Marcos and Lenny Robredo, parang hindi ba madali malaman kung sino doon yung talaga elitista pag pinag-aralan mo yung background nila?
Well, siguro sa atin, Christian, ano, na who value and who, and again, here I'm sounding like a Delawan. Pero siguro para sa atin na mahalaga at may gana na alamin ang katotohanan, parang the ano siya, 'di ba? The it speaks for itself. Litrato lang makikita mo na eh. Pero again, that's why they're trying to build that myth to explain it. Eh, ikaw ba naman, meron kang 600,000 metric tons ng ginto? Eh, wala yung Rolls Royce na yan. Wala yung Top Hat na yan na meron ka pang cane. Di ba? Na talagang ano ka, kamukha mo si Daddy Warbucks. Batang-bata ka pa lang, kamukha mo na si Daddy Warbucks. Wala yan kasi meron kang 600,000 metric tons. Mas malaki pa sa lahat ng naminang ginto sa buong mundo.
Sa kasaysayan.
Sa kasaysayan ng buong mundo. So again, they frame it in those terms. And then may mga troll nga na sumusuporta and they say sa lagay na nga yan, simple na yan eh. Ganun pa yung pagkakaano nila. Simple na nga yan eh, 600,000 metric tons ng ginto.
Actually, na realize ko lang Alan, no, doon sa mga nanonood at nakikinig sa atin ngayon, na miyembro ng mga campaign teams ng iba't ibang mga kandidato, dapat magpasalamat sila sa iyo for this free advice, no? Free lecture on how to run campaigns, no?
Medyo, medyo. Pero kung titignan mo, again, I've used the term so much today, no? Yung narrative strength, buong buo eh. Yung narrative strength ni Marcos Jr., buong buo. Lahat may sagot sila. Pag sinabi mong magnanakaw, hindi magnanakaw yan. Na-inherit yung ginto na yan. Etc., etc. Bakit siya nag-drop out from his Oxford. Schooling? From Oxford. Ah, kasi hinahabol na siya kasi ng Vatican at pinepressure na ng simbahang Katoliko ang kanyang pamilya. May ganun eh, di ba? So, it's a ready answer for everything. Built a myth. So, you know, kudos to the team.
Okay.
Wala akong masabi.
Okay. Punta naman tayo dito sa kampanya ni Manny Pacquiao. Hindi masyado maganda ang mga numero niya. So, nasa baba siya ng surveys, recent surveys. Ano sa tingin mo yung nagiging problema sa campaign messaging?
Alam mo, sa lahat ng kandidato, actually pinaka nasasayangan, I don't want to use that word, no, pero medyo nakapanghihinayang yung nangyari kay People's Champion Manny Pacquiao, Senator Manny Pacquiao. Dahil, again, it's man message machinery money. Kung tutusin mo, how can you beat that man? Idol ng masa at walang tumitigil, literally tumitigil ang Pilipinas pag may laban siya. Walang traffic sa daan.
Walang krimen.
Money fever. Walang krimen. So how, I mean, you're starting from that point and then, gaya na nasabi mo, tinitignan natin yung numero niya ngayon sa survey, medyo mababa. Paano nangyari yon? Ako, kasi ang paksa ng usapan natin yan is messaging. For me, nasayang yung messaging niya dahil they started, number one, wala silang central campaignable. There was Manny Pacquiao Nation, there was Man of Destiny, at kung ano-ano pa, no central campaignable. Number two, puro technical term ako, no? Yung tinatawag natin whiplash. The messaging whiplash was so bad. Halimbawa, Christian Esguerra, noted journalist, very hard-hitting, very matter-of-fact. Biglang the next day, literally Lunes, ikaw yan, Christian, then Tuesday, suddenly, you are hosting a showbiz talk show.
Mm.
There's whiplash. Oo, ang bilis. Ang bilis ng whiplash. So he went from People's Champion, he went from Man of the Masses, laking hirap, from General Santos City, and then, lahat ng campaign imaging niya, naka-Americana, standing in front of a podium, they tried to turn him into a statesman too fast. The whiplash was bad. I mean, if they had transitioned that better, siguro in the past 3 years, slino transition nila yon, mas okay. Ang problema, pagpasok ng kampanya, lahat ng imaging niya naka-Amerikano or naka-barong standing in front of a podium. Whiplash. Mm. Na-whiplash yung tao. Uy, hindi ito yung boksingero ah. That's one. Number two, yung messaging niya, it was the royal me. Sa umpisa, it was the royal me. Man of destiny. Sinong pinag-uusapan? Siya. Man of destiny. Number one, 8 out of 10 Filipinos. Sa tingin ko, hindi maiintindihan yung word na destiny and all of its applications. And two, 10 out of 10 of them will not get kung ano bang silbi niyan sa buhay nila na si Manny Pacquiao ay isang man of destiny. Parang, okay, good for you. Sige, man of destiny ka pala, mabuhay ka, Manny. Pero anong pakinabang niyan sa buhay ko kung destiny mo lang ang na-fulfill? And they were actually going for that, no? Man of destiny, Manny. In fact, in one of the shows where I guested, napakagandang show nun eh. Maayos yung kausap ko nun eh. Ay, show mo pala yun.
Ganun ba?
I actually said,
ANC.
Sa ANC, di ba? Nabanggit ko na bakit nila inabandon yung mga elements ng boxing career niya.
Yeah.
Bakit nila inabandon that which made him great? Why didn't they leverage on the word campeon?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they leverage on his the word knockout? Knockout ang korupsyon, knockout ang krimen, knockout ang kahirapan, pandemya. Puti mi na barong, puti mi na suit, but Have him wear a boxing glove. Track back, di ba? I don't want to take credit. I'm sure the credit is not mine to take. But after that, they pivoted. Ngayon, ano na siya? Panalo ang masa. Yan kumbaga, na ngayon yung bago nilang...
Kumbaga yung biggest, yung biggest advantage na binitawan niya. Parang ganun lumalabas.
Binitawan niya. You know, my favorite, I mean, I gave a lecture last year, no? And my favorite analogy to that is really Vilma Santos and even Mayor Isko himself. Nung umpisa ng political career nila, never nila inabandon yung fact na, like, star for all seasons, iconic Vilma Santos. She never abandoned that. And then when she got elected, she rode on that. Pero nung na-elect siya, oh my goodness, pinakita niya that far more than a star for all seasons, magaling na public servant at local executive ako. Same with Mayor Isko.
Yun yung transition na sinasabi mo.
Oh, yan yung transition. Smooth, very smooth. Si Senator Manny, unfortunately, Lunes, natulog tayo. Ang impression natin kay Senator Manny is the people's champion, 8th division world champion, Filipino icon, pride of the Philippines. Diba? Martes, pagising natin, statesman na siya.
Pero siguro ano to, no? We can also understand, siguro in response to dun sa concerns ng iba na baka minamaliit si Manny Pacquiao, kaya ba magpresidente niyan? Baka yun ang sagot nila dyan, eh, no? That this guy can perform.
Again, a very, very legitimate concern, but to base your entire messaging, kasi that's why you call it DSI, dominant selling idea. You cannot base your entire messaging on the valley. You have to enhance, you have to be exceptional at one thing, enhance another thing, and equalize your valley. Dapat in-equalize lang nila. What do I mean by that? Dapat di nila 180 degree iniwan yung messaging that made him great. Again, put him in a barong, but maybe have a boxing glove. Mm-hmm. Diba? Put him in a suit, but have him inside the boxing ring talking. Marami akong panalo nung ako'y isang boksingero. Ngayon naman, ang pinaglalabang ko ay manalo at maging kampiyon, ang masa. Pasang Pilipino, and he's in a ring, etc., etc. He could have talked about, ito na, free, di ba, free advice, di ba? Ang ganda ng ano niya eh, yung brand na Kamao, nasa kanya.
Oo, Pambansang Kamao.
Literally, if somebody embodies pulling yourself up from your bootstraps at ginamit ang sariling kamay upang makaahon sa hirap, si Manny Pacquiao na yun. Eh imagine kung nileverage nila yung Kamao. Una, Kamao ng jeepney driver, pinapakita yung Kamao, Kamao ng magtataho. Tapos Kamao ng magsasaka. Ang ending, Kamao niya. And then it's him in a barong, then he can deliver his speech. I've just given the Manny Pacquiao yet another great campaign.
Mukhang dapat maningil ka na, Alan.
Oo nga, eh, diba? So,
pasensya ka na.
Oo nga, sayang.
Teka, to use a boxing metaphor, so mukhang he's down in the scorecards, no? Papasok sa championship rounds. So, natingin mo, as a campaign strategist, as someone, let's say, assuming you're in the corner of Manny Pacquiao, how do you help him catch a second wind in the championship rounds?
Number one, at this point, I would already use multipliers. I would already get his famous friends. I would already get maybe other showbiz. Seriously, I would do that by now. Kasi right, yun na nga, hindi nila na-leverage yung iconic status ni Manny. Na whiplash yun for me. So ako, I would get other icons. Whoever those icons are is up for debate. But I would already get him in materials with these other icons from business, from industry, not necessarily artista, but I try to get them to support. I don't want to throw out names dahil baka yung susunod na billboard na makita natin sa EDSA kasama na ni Manny Pacquiao ang isang Olympic weightlifting champion, halimbawa.
But sino ba yan?
I would do that. Oh, yung sino ba yan? Diba? I would do that already at this point. Multiplier na ako ngayon.
Okay. Sige, bago natin tapusin, pasensya na, medyo kumahaba to, pero very interesting yung discussion tsaka yung mga insights coming from you. As usual.
Konting kailan ba hindi humaba ang usapan natin, Christian?
Oo nga eh. O sige, Sipping Lakson naman. Although hindi rin ganun kaganda ng mga numero niya, no? Mababa siya kumpara doon sa ibang mga kandidato. Oh, dito ba nakikita ang consistency or ano nakikita ang problema?
Actually, if I'm being honest and to be fair to Senator Ping, wala. In terms of messaging, wala siyang problema because very, very consistent, very, very authentic yung kanyang messaging. We need a leader. If there is somebody who exhibits leadership on for decades, on practically every level of governance, be it executive, legislative, heck, even police powers, di ba? Dinaanan lahat yan ni Senator Ping. So yung kanyang we need a leader, it's for me tahing-tahi, pero babalikan ko ulit yung 4Ms, man, message, machinery, and money. The message is on point, but the man perhaps is past his political prime. Kung ang masasabi ko lang kay Senator Ping, and I mean no offense to him because what a distinguished public servant, what a career, right? But perhaps he ran too late. So for me, he had his time, but a terrible analogy, I know, what a terrible analogy. And hi Anne, but kumbaga, this is like Ann Curtis coming back from a long hiatus. Now that there's already a Nadine Lustre and there's already a Catherine and there's already all these new artistas. But at that time, if you recall, there was a time when you couldn't go 10 meters in Metro Manila without seeing Ann Curtis in one way, shape, or form. Diba? But lumipas na eh. May mga bago ng entrance. As in any product.
Interesting analogy.
So, baka yun lang ang masasabi ko kay ano. Baka yun lang ang masasabi ko kay Senator Ping.
Okay. Pero at least, ano, pinakita mo yung range mo. Ha? Talagang, ano ko pala sa showbiz, ha? Mas yun yung tumatak sa akin, eh. Paano napunta kay Anna? it makes sense, no?
Tanda mo lang yung sinabi ko, iyan, ha? Mm-hmm. Hindi ka pwedeng maging showbiz reporter bukas. Mahirap na,
okay,
mahirap na.
Okay,
parang
okay.
Ano, whiplash.
Okay. Finally, yung kay isang tumatabo kay Calio de Guzman. Even at this point, I don't think, I think many people are still not taking his campaign that seriously because iniisip nila, malayo, walang chance ang manalo yan eh. Pero in terms of sadly, how he is presenting himself, anong tingin mo?
Again, very still very consistent. I mean, he's a labor leader. He is a man of the masses. He is a, kumbaga, almost, I don't want to say left-leaning. I don't want to say that, right? I don't want to red, definitely I'm not red-tagging anybody. But again, he's the man of the masses in this race. He's saying the right things. Ang problema, yung audience niya talaga napakalimitado. Wala siyang resources, wala siyang makinarya upang makarating yung mensahe na yun sa maraming tagapagkinig. So, ang analogy dyan is, nakapag-compose ka ng magandang kanta, maayos naman yung pagkanta mo, pero sa barangay hall ka lang kumakanta. So, hindi siya talaga binobroadcast sa airwaves, hindi siya nag-viral sa YouTube. So yung kanta mo, unfortunately, will be limited to a very small audience. At yun ang nangyayari kay Calliodi, which is a reality of campaigns na 4Ms talaga ang kailangan. Hindi ka lang pwedeng man, hindi ka lang pwedeng message. Kailangan mo din ng machinery at money.
Okay. On that note, maraming salamat, Alan Herman, for that insightful discussion at for that free lecture doon sa mga nagpapatakbo ng kampanya. Maraming salamat, Alan. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Hey, the pleasure is mine and thanks for having me on your podcast. Like and subscribe, guys. Good yun. Podcast we have here.
Okay. Pakinggan nyo si Alan. Ha? Hindi ko na uulitin yun. Siya na nagsabi. Okay. Maraming salamat po. That ends our podcast for today. I'm your host, Christian Esguera. See you again on our next episode. Thank you again for watching and for listening. Salamat po.